This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Sony's been around digital signage for pretty much as long as the industry, but in all my time around this sector, I haven't had a particularly strong sense that the company was really serious about digital signage, until the last year or so. First, the company attracted Rich Ventura over from NEC, and Ventura is as well-known, knowledgeable, and hyper-connected as they come in this business. A few months later, Jay Leedy left the huge AV integrator Diversified to join Sony. And while he's maybe not as connected as Rich, he's still really well-known in the sector and knows his stuff. Locked down for months like most of us, Leedy spent his first year with Sony building up relationships with the ecosystem and raising awareness that Sony really, truly is in the digital signage business in a serious way. In our chat, we cover a bunch of things, most notably Sony's own approach to so-called smart displays. While Samsung and LG have proprietary operating systems for their smart screens, and their main competitors use Android, Sony uses Android TV. It's different. We get into what that means in terms of benefits like power and features, and a small number of quirks that owe to its being, at its core, a consumer product. Leedy's gig, in part, is making the developer system aware that Sony has a pro mode for Android TV, and how digital signage software companies that already support Android can add support for Android TV quickly and easily. We also get into where Leedy is seeing marketplace demand right now, and where the industry is going in terms of emerging technologies. Mr. Leedy, thanks for joining me. You have, in the past year or so, gone from one company to another. What are you doing at Sony?
Hey, Dave. Yeah, good to talk to you as well. When I left Diversified, you know, I'd been doing a lot of work in business development for strategic partners, and also working with a lot of the offices globally to drive digital signage solutions through their local relationships. Similar work as I've moved to Sony. I'm part of an organization that is really part of their factory planning and product roadmap team called HEES, or Home Entertainment and Sound, which is kind of a funny name for an organization, and my focus, which is really exclusively B2B, but it sheds a little light on our strategy and, you know, how we're developing our Bravia product with a lot of efficiencies in manufacturing and kind of common components from our consumer line that we've ported into a discrete line of Bravia products. So I do a lot of partnership development, really taking cues from our professional sales organization that Rich Ventura leads, and based on their feedback and voice of customer insights, leverage that into developing solutions or affecting changes to our hardware components that, you know, are made to better serve the B2B market. And in cases where we have gaps in capability, build out partnership ecosystems to serve that. So my focus immediately since I came on, which has been about 8 months, has really been around digital signage and building out a broad partner ecosystem to serve that market.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I spoke with Rich when he came over to Sony and talked a little bit about his plans and everything else. And I would say, I think it's fair to say that Sony in the past decade or so hasn't been all that present, maybe by design or just circumstance or marketing, I don't know, in the digital signage sector. But I would say in the past year or so, it seems much more a part of it. And that might owe to people like you and Rich and others who are known in the ecosystem and have those deep contacts and everything else. Has it been work to kind of get the digital signage ecosystem understanding that, hey, Sony is a player on the B2B side, and we are interested in talking to you, and we do have product that are very, very digital signage appropriate.
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey. And I'll be honest, you know, when I saw Sony at the very last DSE, the same year that LG had decided not to attend, it was a bit of a head scratcher for me too. I was still with Diversified at the time and had not worked with Sony at all in my capacity there. But, you know, certainly with Rich Ventura joining and, you know, my coming on, you know, roughly 6 months after he joined, there's been a distinct focus and an investment at the headquarters level to go after this market seriously. We've had a Pro Bravia line of products since 2018, but to your earlier point, you know, have been relatively invisible to the market. So a number of the folks that I reached out to after I joined Sony on the SI and reseller side, their comments were, well, where have you guys been? You've got a great brand. You've got great quality. Everybody knows Sony. But, you know, for whatever reason, we had chosen not to really go aggressively after the B2B market. And for a number of years, we're really solely focused on consumer. Mm-hmm. But as you know, there's a huge opportunity in B2B. And so, you know, coming on and engaging with partners, helping them understand our current strategy, which is really around an Android TV based system on a chip. That's been surprisingly and enthusiastically met with a lot of optimism and support in the digital signage partnership community. So I think that's largely because there's not a proprietary platform that needs to be developed to. They're, you know, they can use existing development talent that are already familiar with developing for Android and work with us without having to develop a new skill set or onboard new resources.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because everybody thinks about Samsung being the company that really introduced the idea of quote-unquote smart signage with their system-on-chip displays going back to like 2013 or something. But I pretty strongly believe that Sony actually had a smart TV and a smart digital signage product before Sony by a year or so, but it was, you know, as we were just talking about, not all that heavily marketed. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a lot of awareness around it, but you've actually been at, or Sony's been at this for quite some time.
We have. We did have a line that I just learned about actually preceding our 2018 launch of Pro Bravia that was more of an ODM approach. So because of that, we didn't control the entire solution stack. Now mm-hmm. that we do have that level of control and a strong partnership with Google and their Android team, that combined with inherent components that we've always built into our devices with respect to image processing and you know, high quality screen components that's really kind of helped us accelerate, I think. But mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it, to your point, is really about getting the word out, right? And talking with our reseller and SI community as well as the consultant community to help them understand that, you know, this is a real line. We're committed. We're not dipping our toes into proverbial water, right? Like, this is something that, you know, we have deep investment in and a commitment at the highest levels of
right.
the organization to go after.
There's a, you talked about easy to develop to Android, don't have to have a proprietary operating system, but mm-hmm. is there a clear distinction between Android and Android TV in terms of development? Like, I've heard some software companies say, yeah, the Sony product is great, but it's Android TV. It's not Android as we know it. So it's different. We have to develop differently. There are limitations on what we can do and everything else. How accurate is that?
It's somewhat accurate. I'd say there are some trade-offs. There's some differences between Android TV and Android. Specifically, that Android TV was designed for watching TV. So
clever.
some of the capabilities like portrait view, for example, are not native in the application. There's ways to work around that. There's some currently some cache limitations on a per app basis that we're working to address with Google as well. And there's also, I think the impression that our ProRavia line is more of a consumer-ish or prosumer approach. And to some degree, that's, I think, informed by a lack of understanding that we have developed and enable what we call Pro Mode, which is a, you know, it turns off certain UI UX functionality and menus and exposes IP control and other capabilities that would be expected in a commercial line of product. So engineers that are unfamiliar with that may rightly or wrongly kind of draw the conclusion that we're not built for commercial. We are, in fact, and because of Android, we can expose IP capabilities that are already native to the solution that just need to be, the device has to be configured in a specific way in order to take advantage of that. We've also very quickly, to the credit of our software development team in the San Diego offices at Sony, in partnership with Tokyo, have developed a device policy control application that enables deeper system level access. And that has been a product of my working directly with that team and them better understanding what the requirements of the market are, what the desires of our partners are, and you know what is ultimately going to be really critical in helping us meet the market need.
So if I'm understanding that correctly, if you get, you may have developers from different companies going, yeah, that's Android TV. It's just not going to be good enough. But if you can get them on a demo and get a sales engineer explaining what you can do, that changes their minds?
It does. And I think what's important to a growing number of our end customers and subsequently the managed service providers and SIs that serve them is a need to be able to specify devices that can predictably plug into their existing device management and network topology infrastructure. Because MDM has grown so rapidly with bring your own device strategies and you know the need to manage disparate device types, the familiarity with Android has increased rapidly, especially, you know, where you know, only 3-4 years ago, Android was really kind of looked at as something that posed potential risk to network administrators. Now they warmly embrace it because they have the tools and familiarity with those tools as to how effectively manage those devices and, you know, also mitigate risk on their networks.
And with Android, I think with the new Sony Bravia lines that's out, I was reading an email the other day. I think it's like Android 10, right?
That's right. Yeah. And any of the devices that we release with Android TV are, you know, we're obligated to support up to 3 major updates as Google, you know, releases new versions of Android. We would be compatible for 3 major releases. So the Android 10 devices that are hitting the market now will be able to support up to Android 13, for example, which I think is really helpful in helping the developer community understand, you know, the extent to which we'll be able to support their efforts longer term as well.
I think it was the guys over in the Czech Republic, the ScientOS guys, who did a review of different smart displays and they said they took a look at the Sony and said it was really, really good in terms of video handling and everything else because it was, you know, a later version of Android versus some of the other ones. Is that something you're hearing as well?
It is, yeah. In fact, a couple of our partners have done initial assessments using, benchmarking criteria and, content mix and playlists that, you know, they use to kind of benchmark all the various players that they evaluate. And in some cases, they're even scorecarding and publicly publishing those results. And our performance based on those assessments has been consistent with purpose-built devices like an Intel Nook or a Mac Mini versus some of the others in the market that, you know, don't perform nearly as strongly. So I think that's partly because of the processing power that we have, you know, our dedicated video processors as well. And, you know, also having a powerful connectivity handling and, you know, some of the other components that, you know, really make these strong performing devices.
Mm. So is there a but that comes up still? You know, it's like that these are great, but they don't do this or they don't do that.
Yeah, we have a couple of limitations. One is, you know, that per app cache is currently at a max threshold of 2 gigabytes, which for many of the applications does not present a challenge. But and when you get into scenarios where you're trying to, you know, cache locally assets that are fairly large, that can mm-hmm. create a challenge. There's a limitation with native rotation that, you know, when putting it into portrait mode, as we touched on earlier, it natively doesn't support that. But in most of the applications that we're testing have an answer for that with HTML and CSS workflows that doesn't present any concern. And we're actively working, you know, to resolve those issues and, you know, take that feedback and insight that we get from our partners and our resellers and customers. And, you know, that's really my job is to carry those into our planning and roadmap efforts.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're so much of digital signage now is, you know, kind of built up around web-based technologies that in the same way that you can have a responsive web page that'll go into portrait for a smartphone. I assume the same thing is happening here, right?
That's right. Yeah. And I mean, the trend in general is towards progressive web apps versus native applications. And so, you know, better understanding that, helping our development team understand how we can address and create a kind of a fertile platform to be able to accommodate those strategies. Is, you know, part of our focus as well. And that's really why we built this large ecosystem is to, you know, get as much feedback as we can so that we can remain relevant and, you know, proactively drive into the market with the right tools for the community.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
So when I looked at Sony in recent years, if I would go to their booth at something like ISE and ask them about digital signage, they would look around and try to find somebody who knew anything about it. And they drag somebody over and they maybe not knew much. And if they did, they would point me in a couple directions to something called Taos, which I gather is more of kind of an office management collaboration tool set. And then there was some CMS software partnership with a company who I wasn't terribly familiar with. So I would kind of walk away from those little drive-by meetings and think, okay, they're not really active in this. But that's changed. If you're talking to 40, 50, 60 different software companies, you're trying to build something out.
That's right. Yeah. And the change is also in helping our professional sales organization and the product management and sales engineers better understand digital signage as a whole, but also the nuances and kind of specialized differentiation between the different partners. You're right. I mean, we did have kind of limited expertise internally prior to Rich and myself coming on digital signage. We had made some inroads and I think had a strategy that entailed reselling digital signage software that is really not our focus now. We really want to, you know, at the end of the day, remove obstacles to specification and be able to plug into existing estates seamlessly with an SoC that, you know, is already kind of pre-qualified as compatible. Or in the event that, you know, we uncover an opportunity that doesn't have that compatibility already inherent, that we have a process and a program to move quickly and ensure that that performance evaluation can take place, both by putting a display in our partner's hands and putting their product in our software engineer's hands and doing parallel testing and having a feedback loop that's ongoing.
So what are you hearing from the various companies out there? And God knows there are many of them. They have been developing two different system-on-chip displays for several years now. And I say they in a kind of a global fashion. I understand, you know, some haven't done that, but many have. Where are they going? What are they doing?
You mean in terms of
Development? Do you see a shift to smart displays from PCs? And do you see a kind of a different direction in terms of how they're developing? Because I get a sense that the smart companies are understanding that they've got to stop just being this kind of island of activity where it just does digital signage. You've got to be integrated.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, I think generally there's a desire by the digital signage software community to consolidate their development resources as much as possible. So not maintaining expertise on a, you know, wide range of platforms is desirable. There's also been a shift away from any Chrome OS support, and the logical kind of migration is to supporting Android. So we're seeing that. We're also seeing in general a trend towards, you know, using an SoC where possible versus a purpose-built device, both in terms of reducing cost of hardware as well as points of failure. But you're always going to have scenarios where a dedicated playback device may be required, you know, higher resolution or
video walls.
Yeah, absolutely. More and more we're seeing, you know, a desire to, you know, specify and be able to run multiple applications on a single device that in many cases Bravia is built to be able to handle. And, you know, that goes beyond digital signage, you know, edges into typical AV installations and all the device control and kind of integrated solutions in that market as well.
So there's enough processing power on these to handle, to basically multitask or multi-thread.
Correct. Yeah, that's right.
With the different software companies, are you getting any sense that they're coming or they're looking for an alternative to what they've been doing in the past? Because some of the big guys, the Samsungs and LGs of the world in particular, have started introducing their own software platforms or CMS software.
Yeah, I'd say that's correct. There's a desire, certainly by the leading software partners, to align with manufacturers that aren't competing with their business. And that's the same with the systems integrators and managed service providers, where, you know, we don't have a device monitoring network operations kind of service offering. In some cases, there's manufacturers that have built up those practices, and that creates a threat to the highest margin and kind of highest growth rate part of that industry sector. And so, you know, it would make logical sense to align with the manufacturer that's going to kind of stay in their lane, so to speak, and let them grow the business that is most attractive for them to realize returns on.
But the flip side of that argument is that if you are going with a company that has proprietary smart displays and their own CMS, it's kind of a matched set, so to speak, and therefore it simplifies the lives of the integrators. You just know, okay, I'll buy the displays and the software is already baked in and validated for it, so that makes it simple for me.
Yeah, I can see that, but I think flexibility is a big part of the need in the market, We're seeing that kind of confirmed with a number of touch points through the industry where, especially when you're approaching a customer that has a fairly mature strategy and maybe legacy devices that are across a wide global estate that are not all going to kind of be deemed end of life at the same time. They need to be able to have more interoperability and flexibility and, you know, also be able to capitalize on trends as they occur and as, you know, relationships evolve and shift over the life of those investments. Mm-hmm.
Does activity and interest in the signage sector differ from what it did 15, 16 months ago?
That's a great question. I think I just read your Workplaces Reworked white paper yesterday, which is really, really well done, by the way.
And you slept well last night, right?
I did, yeah. but, you know, we are seeing an increased interest in unified communication, and hybrid working environments are, I think, accelerating that. The need for physical spaces to be able to have more kind of heads-up displays and situational awareness, all that stuff is driving that. And I think there's also opportunities because of the way that these spaces are being organized differently to, you know, place communication tools where they previously didn't exist, as well as, you know, in the cases of huddle rooms and conference room spaces. There's a number of clients that are interested in, you know, activating dark screens and using them as communication tools more passively when that environment's not being used for its primary purpose. That definitely has been a trend that we've seen, and I would expect to continue to grow.
Are there verticals that setting workplace aside, are there verticals that seem to be emerging and other ones that are... You would maybe coach a solutions provider or software company to, you know, stay away from for now or not bother with?
I think, you know, enterprise, education, healthcare all seem to be in a more of a growth trajectory. There's not, I mean, obviously, QSR, especially for the drive-throughs, has gone through a major transformation. And, you know, there's not any in particular that I think I would steer anybody away from, honestly. You know, we've seen investments that have been pretty significant in transportation as the operators of those hubs, you know, in airports and train stations have taken advantage of the less traffic. You know, being able to put labor to drive installation and, you know, overhauling those environments at a fraction of the cost because they don't have to work overnight. They can work during the day. So, you know, I there's not anyone in particular that I would say, you know, I would steer away from necessarily. We're, you know, as far as Sony's line of product currently, we don't have an outdoor display. That's something that we may choose to bring to market in the future. But so, you know, as far as working with Sony specifically, obviously, you know, outdoor displays is not something that we would chase. But there certainly seems to be plenty of momentum.
Yeah. I was walking through ISC a year and a half ago, and one of the things that stuck in my head was, dear God, there are a lot of companies selling outdoor kiosks. And that was in Europe. So
imagine
North America and Asia, add all that up and holy smokes. So it's not, there's nobody sitting around going, if only somebody would come out with an outdoor ready display for my use.
That's right. Yeah. There seems to be plenty of options out there, but plenty of opportunity. And as a result,
where do you see digital signage software and technology going in terms of kind of new developments and kind of overarching trends?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, progressive web apps and kind of a trend towards consolidating developer resources on, you know, really focusing on a single platform versus having to support a range of them is certainly a trend. And broader integration as well. You know, we're seeing that with companies like Halfspace and Mersive and Crestron, who, you know, are able to support digital signage playback in traditional AV applications. And I think, you know, beyond that, there's more comprehensive strategies evolving in corporate communications and using a range of different screen types from mobile phones to desktop to, you know, traditional digital signage as channels to communicate, you know, and meet the need of where the audience wants to receive that information in any shape or form across the entire chain.
Mm-hmm. So when you're working with the 40, 50 companies that you're speaking with, what are they asking and why should they be involved with you?
Mainly they're asking whether their existing native Android application can run on our device or whether they have to develop something unique. And more often than not, the answer is that their APK can be sideloaded onto our device and very little modification to their code is required.
So a small job versus 6 month job.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's really attractive, is to, you know, just have another arrow in the quiver, so to speak. And I think they're also, you know, looking for more ways to market. The enthusiasm that we've gotten in general, when they learn that Sony is leaning in and getting more serious about the B2B side of the business and digital signage in particular, has been really, you know, they're super excited about it because, like many of us, myself included, you know, some of the first electronics that we had relationships with as we were, you know, teenagers and young adults were Sony products. And the idea of working with a brand that, you know, has so much recognition in the market for quality, as well as so much innovation in various sectors of our business, you know, including our interactive entertainment division and, you know, this PlayStation product that we just can't even stay on the shelves, that we get a little bit of a halo effect from that when approaching these various partners. They're really excited about working with us.
Yeah, I'd be curious about that. When you come to a Sony display, if you're looking at it versus some of the other manufacturers are out there, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe you're not going to win a deal based on your price versus some other commodity product. But if the buying decision is hanging around, at least in part, on visual quality, then like you're in the hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great point. In terms of color accuracy and acuity and things that are really important to brand marketers, we're absolutely in the hunt, if not first consideration. And I think that also translates to total cost of ownership calculations and some of the kind of quality benchmarks that we hit that are reflected in our warranties. The industry experts that have worked with us for a long time and as well as are familiar with a number of other manufacturers gravitate towards us because they know they can, you know, more or less set it and forget it. They're not going to incur costs that, you know, they may have to pass on to their customers for field remediation and, you know, things that may have been problematic for them previously. So, that seems to really resonate as well.
All right, Jay, thank you so much for spending some time with me.
Absolutely, Dave. Great to talk to you again, and I'm glad everything's going well for you.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 69, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 69 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 69 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.